that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Well, good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we are coming to you live this morning from the Radio Ranch. Let me bring the guys up, and we've got some guests for you today. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I didn't know if John popped on yet or not.
Yep.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Leon here in the studio with us. Good morning, Brother Leon.
Good morning, brothers. And glad to be here.
Yeah. So we say good morning to you, Holy Spirit. And John, would you open us up in prayer?
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we praise you, and we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for this time that you set aside for your people to come and get together and encourage one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembly, just as your word said. Father, we know that when two or more are gathered, you're there also. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest this morning. Father, guide and direct our thoughts. Give us wisdom and understanding. Give us a special anointing to bring forth the things that are relevant for your people. Lord, give us wisdom to know what it is that we are to speak about this morning. Father, there's so much going on in the world today. So much acceptance and tolerance of sin under the guise of grace. So many of your people who are deceived, who are believing the lie. Father, we ask for grace and mercy for those that are yours, those that can come to repentance. Father, remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears and let them see the truth. Father, we pray the blood of Jesus over your people for protection. Let not Satan sift one of yours, Lord. pray a hedge of angels and ring of fire and a shield of light around those that are yours, their families, and all that you've blessed them with. We give you all the praise and all the glory this morning in Jesus' name. We all pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Well, thank you, John. Well, again, good morning, folks. And we got our phone lines back up and running. So if you'd like to call in, if you have a comment or a question, phone lines are open. And it's ready to go right now. 307-745-5913 is the number if you want to call. And we'll do our best to get you on the line. And, you know, I had a had something happen this week that I thought it was it's a pretty good thing, and it's encouraging when it does. You know, just an associate that I know that lives on the other side of the county. I was talking with him on the phone, and he asked for prayer. And it's encouraging when people that you don't expect to ask for prayer. It kind of, I think it lets you know that maybe the seeds you're putting out are taking root. Anyway, not a big deal, but it was encouraging. It's kind of opened up a door that I've been kind of pounded on and trying to open up with this man. And so I'm kind of happy to see that.
It is encouraging.
Yeah,
I'd say it is a big deal. It is encouraging. I've had that happen a lot too. You can tell people, they may not say anything, they may seem like they don't believe, but when the rubber hits the road, they know who to go to beseech the Heavenly Father.
Yeah. So it is. It is encouraging.
Intercede.
Yeah.
And we can do that. We can intercede for those people. So that's a huge blessing. Something I think we've missed for quite a while is the power of that interceding on lots of different ventures, different avenues, I guess.
Yes, we have.
Amen. Well, Jason, we did get the newsletter off this week. If you want to give everybody an update on that.
I worked hard in the print shop this last week. We did get it shipped out. So, folks, those of you that are receiving the newsletter, keep watching for it. And I do ask that you do drop me an email, as I've been asking in the last couple ones. Let me know when you get it. You can email me, jason@sfaw.org. And we do offer this newsletter free of charge. If anybody out there would like to receive it, we'd like to send it to you. And you can just, send me an email if you'd like to get that. Get on the list, and we'll send it to you. And you can email me again, jason@sfaw.org. We're working, making the final touches on the online newsletter. We also do email it out. And we're going to make some, we still got some corrections to make to that. And and anybody that didn't receive it last month, the Volume 4, just shoot me an email, too, and let me know that. I guess there was several people that didn't receive it, so I'm trying to figure out how come they didn't receive it and why. And just shoot me an email and give me your email address, and then I can that just helps me track it down.
Yeah, we send out we have it on a list that we send out, that newsletter, and, boy, sometimes the cyberspace just acts up and doesn't work the way that it normally does. But yeah, we can sure send an email to you and email you that that newsletter. So Volume 5 in the mail and just about ready to get emailed out. So, well, Brother Leon, thanks for coming out. Didn't know if you had anything you wanted to kind of start off and share this morning?
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. Well, John kind of mentioned something that I'd like to just kind of talk a little bit about, and that is intercessor prayer. Now, John and I got to spend some time a while back when we had to go see Miss Claudine, and I told him a story, and I'd like to say that story now because it's very important, of the power of the intercessor prayer. I had two daughters that was wanting to go to a church camp, and I told them this particular year the money just wasn't there. I didn't have the extra money to send them to church camp. So I said, this year I just can't send you. Well, the oldest of the two came to me and handed me half of the money to go to church camp. She said, Dad, here's, I think it was $35, and it was $75. Here's $35. Can you add $35 to this and send my sister to church camp? And it really moved me, and that's the power of the intercessor prayer. When she was more concerned about her sister being able to go and to grow closer with Jesus Christ, that's that power of that intercessor prayer. And it moved me. It moved me in such a way that I made sure both of them got to go to church camp. And our Heavenly Father is the same way. When we care for others more than we care for ourselves, He knows what we need. He knows our concerns and what clothes and heat and food. But when we have concerns, but yet we're more concerned about praying for others, that moves Him not only in the others, but also in our own lives too. I just felt like...
That's an excellent example.
I think that's a good example. It's better to give than to receive.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, you know, I know that that's one of the things that, you know, I remember talking with Dad about it a lot. It's like, you know, the true enjoyment that we've got out of life is when you can be a blessing to other people. And there really is no greater joy and any greater blessing that you can get than to be a blessing to others. And, yeah. You know, it's different. You've got in the world, you've got a lot of takers. You've got a lot of people that will abuse, you know, a person's generosity. You've got people that they're always in want, and they never do turn around and give something back. When a person really has a heart of God, and you are constantly giving and giving, and you know, when God puts it before you, and you're allowed to give, you come into that state, you never find yourself wanting, because you're just you're right in the middle. You're an intercessor, just like we were talking about. God blesses you with what you need to bless others, and it's just a constant flow. And when a person does that, when a person, you know, Scripture says it real clearly, and I think it's real simply. You know, you freely give, you freely receive.
Yeah, I don't know much in 53 years on this earth, but I do know one thing. You can't outgive God. No matter how hard you try, you can't outgive God.
That's right. That is correct.
A lot of times it's people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. You know, I barely make it as it is. And Pastor had a lot of really good examples of true life stories of time after time when he finally, you know, realized that, well, this is the Word of God. This is the only place in the Word of God where He says, test me and see if this isn't true, that the windows of heaven will open and your blessings will overflow. And I got to admit, you know, when I first learned about it, I was like, really? What? 10%? Come on. And but I can tell you that given that 10% and then listening to the Holy Spirit and helping those people that you're told to help, because I really believe, and I think we miss this, is the Lord uses us to fulfill His promises to His people. He will convict His people to fulfill His promises. So if someone needs something and you're convicted that you need to help them, you better do it, because otherwise you're not helping Him fulfill the promises that He's made to that person, and it may cause them to stumble. It may hinder their walk. I mean, there's all kinds of things. There's consequences to these things. But if you're obedient, don't be surprised if whatever you gave to that person that you were convicted by the Holy Spirit to help, comes back. Now, whether that's time, talent, or treasure, comes back to you tenfold.
Amen.
I'll admit that I can witness that. It's happened to me time and time again.
Oh, it does. God proves himself time and time again with that. I spoke with a man on the ministry this week, and he confessed that sin. He said, money's been tight. He was calling up and making a donation, but he said, money's been tight. He said, God has shown it to me again. He said, when I tithe, I have more work and more money than I know what to do with. And he said, I haven't been tithing, and I haven't. I haven't talked to him for a few months, several months. But he called back and he said, I'm getting back into it. And you know, God honors that type of thing. He does. He honors obedience.
Yeah, it does. You know, like intercessory prayers, it's times that, you know, like this, that I think that, you know, intercessory prayers can be more needed, more effective than others. As we look at this, what we're dealing with, I mean, it's really a time of wars and rumors of wars. You know, the recent polls that have been taken, you know, show that 79% to 80% of people in the United States fear that we're going to be in another major war within the next 2 years. You know, and as you start looking at it, it's like, really, the next 2 years, it's happening all around us. I mean, it's going on right now and right before our eyes. You know, right now with this China threatening India with war. You know, that you're talking about billions of people that could be affected by that. A billion. It's a lot of people. You know, and they got their saber rattling going on right now. And, you know, it's very possible that there's a conflict there. So the other one that's been, you know, is that it's been interesting. And, you know, you can't tell me that we are not in a war. And this started under the Obama administration. And, you know, we're just calling for an end of it right now. But it was the United States. It was a CIA program. And we were arming the anti-Assad rebels. That, you know, all the rebels that were fighting Assad in Syria, you know, and I really didn't know a whole lot until recently when we had these bombings of Syria. I didn't know a lot about Assad, and I went and started reading about him, and I'll tell you what, I mean, the guy he's a good guy. He's done more for that country than I think anybody ever has. And, you know, I mean, you got to tip your hat to the guy after reading about him, and anybody that is interested in doing some research on him, boy, I tell you what, it's a good subject because you sure learn a lot about somebody when you start learning about a guy like that. You know, but we've been
makes you wonder if he was deceived. It makes you wonder. Well, it makes me wonder, and I think I know the answer is he was probably deceived into those bombings and against Assad by his cabinet, because the fact now that he pulled back that, like you said, the arming of the Syrian rebels or whatever, the ones
exactly.
That they're fighting against. Yeah.
Well, I think that's what's happened, you know, but, you know, I mean, pulling back, I mean, we've been arming the rebels that have been fighting against Assad for, you know, since, I mean, the Obama administration, I have no idea how long that's been going on, and, you know, who knows if we'll ever know. It might be one of those things that we'll find out 20 years down the road. But, you know, for the CIA from the United States of America to be going over there and arming rebels to fight against their leader, that is an act of war. I don't care what you want to call it. I mean, you know, yeah, is it? Did we write a declaration and call it war? No, we didn't. But that is an act of warfare. End of story.
Yeah,
it is.
And, you know, that's what people need to realize.
Amen.
Yeah,
you know,
for another
and I think that's huge for us to go into, you know, first of all, do we even admit that it was going on, you know, which, you know, we're finding out that, oh, yeah, this has been going on, this is what was happening, this is how we were doing it, and, you know, but it's coming to a stop, so hopefully it does completely come to a stop. You know, because that was one of the things that, you know, Russia had. Russia was very upset with the United States over the whole deal. You know, Russia's like, what do you have against these people? What do you have against Assad? What do you have against this country? Why are you in, you know, they said, well, we're not in a, the United States responded, we're not in a war. We're not in a conflict with them. And all Russia looks at it like the same way I do. It's like, but you're arming those that are fighting against them. That is an act of war. Plain and simple.
Yes, it is.
It is. You know, I think of Oliver North and the Nicaragua scandal, you know. Supposedly that was going to those that were fighting against drug runners down in South America. And it wasn't. It was the exact same thing that you're talking about, Jason. It was arming the rebels to overthrow the government. And our country's been involved with that for years and years. And now that we have this big military complex that has just become part of the, part of this country, at least part of the greed of it, it continues on. And yeah, who knows? It'll be years before we see the depths of it.
And Pastor always talked about the unseen third party. If you look in all these countries that we have invaded over the last 20 years, you'll find one common thread, that they have gotten away from the central banking. When you get away from the central banks, then all of a sudden, you got to be disciplined, you've got to be brought back in order. I believe Russia right now is away from the central banks, and North Korea, along with Syria, Libya was, Iraq, Iran. You start looking there and you can see that the ones who control our government in the negative way has been pushing our military to do their deeds and to sacrifice our children to get these other nations back under the line and under their power and authority.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, make a lot of.
Well, folks, again, we have the phone lines open. Got that system fixed this week, so if you do want to call in, 307-745-5913 is the number. If you have a comment or a question. And hopefully you're reading your Bibles. We are halfway through the calendar year, a little more than that, and finishing up in the epistles this week with Paul's letters, first and second letter to Timothy. And not very big books, just a few chapters each, but boy, are they packed with good godly advice. And, you know, remember, these letters of Paul to Timothy, they are letters from an aging, older apostle, an aging, older disciple of God that was converted, that was a sinner, that was a Christian murderer, you might say, or a murderer of Christians, and he changed. He had his Damascus Road experience, and he changed, and his name was changed from Saul to Paul, and he became a true follower of Christ. And these letters to Timothy, I think if you think about it that way and read it with that perspective, it gives you insight into, it is an elder. One who has been there, one who has suffered with Christ, one who understands, and he's writing this to this younger Timothy, and it would do well for us to read this and take it as if it were an elder pastor, an elder disciple, writing it to us in our individual lives. And you know, 1 Timothy, we talked a little bit about that before, but you know, it warns in here not to pay attention to myths and things that are only fit for women, and encourages prayer and discipline, because those things are needed in a Christian life. If you understand the Anglo-Israel message, and you understand, you think you understand God, and you pray to Jesus, and you've been baptized, and that's about the limit of what you do, well, there's more to do. There's more to do. It is a daily fight of faith, and it's a daily doing of faith, of putting those thoughts, putting those of doing. It is an action type of life that we are to lead. Like you had said earlier, John, when we are praying, we need to be praying that we should be led. At times, we are led to help people. It doesn't, you know, whether it's financially or otherwise. And if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, then that is probably where we're getting that leading from to help. Anyway, but
yeah, you know, with all the abominations going on in the land, I think one of the greatest ones that I was reading about here last night is, I think we touched on it a couple weeks ago, but the Church of England is affirming transgenderism with a gender transition service, and they've even gone as far now as to baptize that person in their new gender, in their new transgender name. But boy, it's hard to think of more of an abomination than that to the true Christian faith. And there's a picture here. It's like some Hindu or something, or Muslim, with their hands raised to God with a couple of dykes. Man, it's just. But this is. There's a statement I wanted to read. It makes total sense. It says, in light of this, the church has moved. Think about this, what the church has done over the last, even since pastor's been around, last 10 years or so, 20 years probably, has moved from tolerance to acceptance to now celebration of new gender theories, even so far as to deny and reclassify what is sin in God's word. And use that when you get an opportunity to speak to somebody who's Judeo-Christian, who's warm and fuzzy, Jesus loves me. Just point blank say, you know what? Most of the churches today have perverted grace into acceptance and tolerance of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it really takes them back. They really start to think. It's a small, short statement that there's so much truth in that it's like getting hit with a 2x4 upside the head, because they know. You know, most of these people are God's people. They have the laws of God written on their heart. They know that what they're being taught in these churches is wrong. And when you tell them that, you can see the light come on in their head, and you can see them start to think and start to wonder about what's going on. So
that's why fewer and fewer men are going to churches nowadays, because of this. They're convicted in the heart when they hear that message, and they just can't take it. They know it's wrong. And you go to the churches and you look, and the church pews nowadays are getting close to empty. The only thing keeping churches going is the money from people of the past. Because the people that do go are not supporting the churches as they used to. And yeah, the churches, and they try to be more tolerant instead of seeing their mistake and making the changes and trying to go back to becoming the church that they were in the beginning, in the foundation. They try to change and make themselves more tolerant, more acceptable for their own demise, their own downfalling.
Yes. Yeah, the church is to be the pillar of truth. It is to be that which holds up, upholds truth to government, and as well as to individuals, and that has changed. It certainly has with the general populace, the churches of the masses.
When I talk to men, I try to convince them not necessarily to go to church, but to read their Bible, and to love their Lord. Because that is, Pastor always taught us, that was a love letter. And that's an instruction manual. That is for us as an individual, that Bible, from the everlasting God, Creator and Savior. He gives that to us to help mold us and make us into a man that He wants us to become. So I never encourage them to go back to church. What I try to encourage them is to get in the Word, read the Bible, question, and learn and grow in this area. Because they're not going to get truth when they go to most churches of this land. They don't know what sin is. You know, and they have to make up sin.
Yeah.
They make up, the sin is now, I was in a church, and if you go over 3 minutes in a communion meditation, that's sin, and they can call you out on it. Instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to move you on the communion meditation to the time that you feel right to end it, they have a time and a parameter set in and say, if you go beyond this, then we're not going to let you do it anymore. So it's, and they have to make up sin. And they're so quick to judge those that God finds innocent, but yet they do not want to judge those that God judges and finds guilty, the churches of the land. They don't want to judge the homosexuals or the rapists or the murderers, but they want to judge somebody who might be just think a little bit different in the scriptures. They're so quick to pounce on them and to judge them and let the others go astray and don't offer any words of wisdom to the others that are going to hell, that their part will be in the lake of fire. Yeah.
You're right, the people don't, and we are to direct them to read their word. A few weeks ago, in our having Wednesday morning prayer breakfast with some, you'd call them somewhat Judeo-Christians, men in town, early on a Wednesday morning, and that topic of sin came up, and how the churches have become so tolerant today. So we turned over to 1 John 3:4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you don't have to go any further than that. And you know, I think it was wasn't it Jesus that said, "Depart from me, you who practice what?" Not going over 3 minutes in your communion message. You who practice reading and applying the word. No, you who practice lawlessness. You who practice sin.
Mm-hmm.
And just because some people that meet in the church say that it's okay doesn't make it okay. But they are not entering into the kingdom of heaven, and they're doing all they can to keep others from entering in. Yeah, very good point, Leon. And that's what we, you know, that is more important, I think, than trying to get people into church. It's a better beginning, is to read the word, get the Bible down off the shelf, read the word. It's a start.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen, but there's some articles out about the witches are planning like an uprising during this new next eclipse in, I think it's August 21st is when the entire eclipse is supposed to take place. I think we need to be in prayer against that. We probably need to call for a day of fasting too, so we need to just started looking into that a little bit, but I mean, let's face it, they have power too. You know, our pastor used to teach us that we get power from our God, the God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through prayer and fasting and worship and praise. But they get power through their God, through pain and suffering and death, sacrifice. And we need to combat the power that they get from their God with the triumphant power that we get from our God through the Holy Spirit. So,
yes,
that's something we need to be keeping in our prayers as well.
Yeah, that is fast approaching, just a month away, literally. Just a month away. And we have a small article in this Volume 5 newsletter that just got mailed out called Signs. And it talks and tells a little bit about that eclipse. You know, God sends His signs. And Jesus talked about that. Of course, Jesus' life was, I mean, the signs that He gave proved you know, who he was. He told that to John's disciples when they, you know, when John was doubting and in prison, and John sent word and said, well, is, you know, are you the Christ? And Jesus said, you know, tell John what you see. And it basically was telling the signs that you're seeing. You know, the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised. But it is a crooked generation, it says, a wicked and perverse people that ask for a sign, that look to it. And, you know, the people that ask for a sign, well, they haven't believed the signs they've been given. They don't believe the miracles they see. But yet they want more. But I think these signs in the heavens, not only the eclipse, but there's some star alignment going on that has not happened in quite a while. We'll say that
since Christ was born.
Yeah, and in Revelation talks about there'll be signs in the stars in heaven, and we have to remember, you know, that God made these. He put this into motion before. In the beginning, he had already planned it out, and you know, when we start reading back in Genesis about in the beginning and God creating all this, he had already planned it out, and this was just the telling of him doing it. And he did create those signs. He created this eclipse coming up. It is unfortunate that people in their sin and with their sinful nature, like these witches you're talking about, John, they do their best to use it to ill gain, to use it to mislead the people. But the signs are still there. They're still there from God. I saw something in the news. I didn't really print the article out, but something about the LGBTDFers, whatever, are upset that the church is trying to reclaim the rainbow, because you know these filthy faggots have absconded that and used that as their symbol. You think about the Bible tells us what the rainbow is. It symbolizes the promise of God that He won't flood the earth again. And so, you know, there again, there's the evil trying to claim a promise of God when it is not for them.
Mm-hmm.
And because they are, back to this sin, practicing lawlessness, they do not get that promise. But they try to claim it. And then it comes up that, oh, they're mad because some certain church is, you know, putting something in to try to reclaim it back.
Yeah, I saw that Ken Ham, the guy who built that life-size ark in, I think it's Kentucky, lit the ark with... the rainbow, and is trying to claim it back for Christians.
Yeah, I just saw a blurb. I didn't have the details on it, but
and of course they're outraged about it.
Sure. Well, maybe that's part of that shift. We've talked about that before. That we
well, another thing
we've noticed a shift.
Talking about the shift is I thought this was a really interesting article. It comes from Three Rivers ISD administrators, and it says they're going shopping for a paddle. And down in Texas, it's the independent school district of Three Rivers. And it says, as part of the new policy approved by the board Tuesday, the paddle, likely to be wood, will be used to administer corporal punishment when a student misbehaves at school. Corporal punishment is defined as the deliberate infliction of physical pain by hitting, paddling, spanking, slapping, or any other physical force used by means of discipline. Three Rivers Independent School District trustees voted 6-0 on the motion, with one trustee absent. The policy states only a campus behavior coordinator or principal can administer the disciplinary measures at their discretion. Three Rivers ISD students whose parents have provided written and verbal consent will receive one paddling for his or her infraction when they misbehave at school. Parents will be able to decide upon registering their children for the upcoming school year whether they want to opt in or out. If the parent is not comfortable with it, that's the end of the discussion. Three Rivers ISD Superintendent Mary Springs said Texas is among 15 states that specifically allow schools to use corporal punishment. Eight other states have no laws or regulations against it, and according to the National Center on the Safe, Supportive Learning Environment, part of the U.S. Department of Education. And, you know, as you look at that, that's talk about a shift. That's a shift.
Yes, that's better.
Absolutely.
That is
better. I mean, and it is what it boils down to, as you read it, there's a lot of articles on it out there right now, but what it boils down to is parents that grew up had their butt beat and got a regular spanking when they did something wrong, are realizing, hey, these kids have no discipline. They have no, it's been illegal for us to discipline them for how many years now. This is what they need. We need, there's something wrong, and that's what they're realizing. There is a problem, and how do we correct it? We need to have discipline in our society. And they're realizing they don't want to raise a bunch of hellions.
Amen. Jason, when you mentioned that, I tell you, the memory I had, my senior year in high school, I was class president. You know, I was big man on campus. And I left school one day without going to the office and getting a permission slip, and the assistant principal noticed it, and he waited about 2 weeks and then called me in the office. And his name was Rusty Payne, and he could inflict pain. He was a retired Marine, big guy. And a heart of gold. I mean, he enjoyed being there, working with children, being a good example for him. But, buddy, when you stepped out of line, he stepped you back in line. I remember it today, and that's been 30-plus years ago. That was 1983. And being in his office, 10 paddles, whack, whack, and that would echo throughout the whole office. And the whole office, you know, there's administrators and secretaries and students in there, and the whole office would just be silent, maybe 20 people. Whack! Whack! And then it's over, and it's like, well, that's the rules. Yes, sir.
Yep.
And step out of that office. Now, this was the other thing. Step out of that office, and those 20 people in the office see that it was me. It was the class president that was getting those. And not that I was anything, but in the, you know, the big deal of senior year of high school, I thought it was a big thing. But, you know, it was humbling to have to do that and then to walk out. Yep, that was me. And
I'm surprised you walked.
Well, it was a tender walk. I can remember it now. Oh, man, it is effective. It works. The Bible tells us about discipline. We are to be disciplined. God disciplines those He loves.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows love. That independent school district shows love.
It says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. You know, and that's truth.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
Did you guys see that they actually uncovered the plot to replace Europeans with refugees? Let's see, United Nations document prepared in the year 2000 reveals that the UN was already promoting the notion of replacement migration in Europe with the support of open borders, non-governmental organizations, and progressive politicians. The document, Replacement Migration, is a solution to declining and aging populations, detailing the plunging birth rates across Europe and identifying a solution, mass immigration. The 17-year-old document contended mass immigration was necessary to replace the aging populations in developed countries without the migration of populations from developing world. It reasons economies will suffer because of labor shortages and falling tax revenues. Says the report specifically targets the U.S., Germany, Britain, France, Italy, Japan, South Korea, and Russia as prime candidates for replacement migration. It is not an obscure study written and then ignored, but a founding piece of pro-migration agenda pushed by the United Nations.
Well, they didn't get too far with...
significant. What's that?
They didn't get too far with Japan. Japan said, we will not take those aliens. They do not conform to our society. They're not a benefit for our people and for our nation. They're not coming here. Of course, the world applauds Japan making that statement.
The truth of the matter is, I don't even think it's about the declining rates and about the people that are dying. What it is that the American people and the people in these countries are so shackled with debt, that they can't put any more debt upon them. I was the other day, I mean, they're starting to finance vehicles for 30 years. I mean, you go buy a new pickup for $70,000, they'll finance it, I know, for 15. And I've heard that there's places that'll do it for, 20 and 30 years.
Wow.
So they're running out of tricks to bury the people in debt. And in their foolishness, they think that bringing these migrants in here is going to create a new class of people who can enslave in debt, is what I think.
Well, they want to destroy the people of Europe and America, the founding fathers that cared about their posterity to build and set us up this great nation. That's who they're after, destroying by bringing in these migrants. They're not trying to encourage the growth rate of the white European. They're trying to destroy the white European in the process. It's a good shining note that what Poland is doing and some of these other nations are saying, you can sanction us all you want. We're not going to let these aliens into our nation. I've been listening to some of the speeches that the Polish people have been doing, and boy, they're glorifying Jesus Christ, and they're taking a stand, and that's good to see. It's good to see that having been completely neutered by the vaccines and the drugs and the food and all the other television, the dogma, that God still has that remnant out there, and he sparks it into the people.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, the phone line's flashing. Let's try to take a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wrangler.
Good morning. I'm Steve from Orange, California. That's the boy, Donald Trump, the Lord gave us a wonderful reprieve. It wasn't because we were afraid. We didn't stop Hillary because we were afraid enough or anything like that. It was purely a God thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Donald Trump's trying to get things back to the way they should be. But he is not our Savior. He needs us to... He needs our help. He needs our prayers.
Absolutely. Amen. Yep, agreed there, Steve.
Yeah, it's a temporary deliverance of a nation, but it's up to us how long it lasts, depending on how powerful our prayers are in protection and continuing to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Yeah. If we would realize that we were not given a Savior, that our being fearful and whatever is not what gave us this miracle, is God, we would, I think, our prayers would get further and all that. I mean, if we think we did it, then it's no good.
Amen.
We realize God did it.
That's right. That pride, amen, cannot be there. It is what God did. And Paul writes to Timothy about that. I urge you, entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And we're seeing a shift back to that. A couple sentences later, he says, there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. And the warning was even given 2,000 years ago. Pray for those in authority, but we understand that it is Jesus Christ that is all power and rule and authority.
Mm-hmm.
And it is today. And oh, that Steve, that our people would see that and would see, this reprieve for what it is.
not something we earned. It's something God did for us, just like when Jesus died.
Yep.
Yes.
Just like when the Israelites, when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt.
Yeah, it's never been about us. It's always Him. It's always Him and what He has done for His people out of love, because He loves His people.
Yeah, churches always say, Amen. A lot of churches, you get the message, it's all about you, and if you cannot accept that, well, you're not long in there.
Yeah, they have that calling. Come forward, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You know, that puts in the wrong perspective. We should be working on trying to make ourselves acceptable to our Lord, and our God, and our Savior, and our Deliverer.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Steve, thank you for your call, brother. Have a blessed weekend.
You too, brother.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Folks, we have a few minutes left. Go ahead, John.
I found some more information on that planned mass migration. This is interesting, too. More than 1.3 million migrants applied for refugee status in Europe in 2015. Now, that's just 2015. I think they estimate that there's almost 5 million that have come into Europe in the last 5 years or 7 years. But then an estimated 75% of Europe's asylum seekers in 2015 were young males, many without significant training or education. Among them were Gambian, 97% male, Pakistani, 95% male, Afghanistani, 80% male, Iraqi, 75% male, and Syrians, 71% male. And then it says many of the, in Sweden, the government accepted 163,000 asylum seekers in 2015. A year later, only 500 of these migrants had found any work.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, in the Netherlands, 90% of Syrian and Eritrean, whatever that is, asylum seekers who entered the recent years remain dependent on social benefits. So really what we got is an invasion.
An invasion. It absolutely
like
is.
Trojan horse of Muslims that are coming in to take over Europe. That's what we got. And America. I mean,
yep.
Have not be for God's grace and mercy and, you know, what is it, 2 Thessalonians, where he says, I'm not slow as the world counts slowness. I'm patient.
Yes.
Not wanting any of my people to perish, but all to come to repentance. If it had not been for that, this country would be in as bad a shape as Europe. And if we don't continue to pray and continue to cry out to God, it will be.
Yes, because what we're seeing is just a fulfillment of the scriptures in Deuteronomy 28.
Yeah.
When you reject His law, the alien who is amongst you is going to go higher and higher, and that's what we're seeing, not only in Europe, but in here,
yeah.
In this nation also. In fact, how can you get much higher than the very president?
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen.
But also in Deuteronomy 28 also tells us what we can do. Well, we can turn from our ways, our wicked ways, and seek our God, and He'll... In 2 Chronicles 7:14 talks about that also. You know, God's always given us a choice. This is what's going to happen.
Yep.
If you obey me. This is what's going to happen if you don't obey me. You better obey me.
Amen.
Life is much better if you obey me.
Oh, it is. It is. In Hosea we read, you know, God says, if you forget my laws, I will forget your children.
Yes.
We see that. And when you can, as you said, Leon, encourage men to read their Bible, and they don't have to hear it from the pulpit. They need to read it and hear it themselves, at least first. And they see that type of thing. You know, that's what moves people. That's what I think brings repentance. When they read, we read of that happening. You know, when His law is read, when His word is read, and indwelled and taught and listened and heard to, it brings repentance. The people, some do, some of the remnant, they see that that wait a minute, we've done wrong. I thought it was this way, but the Word of God says this, and so we've got to go with the Word of God. I pray for that day coming again when His law will be read from sea to shining sea, not just on Bible reading day on the steps of the courthouse. And that's one of the reasons this ministry continues on, is to put that Word out, to put that true gospel, that Word of God, out.
Yep. And come to church tomorrow, and you'll hear a personal testimony of how the Word of God change and transform a man. It's a good testimony.
Amen.
Well, there's the invitation, folks, and you heard it from the guest speaker. So we encourage you. You can join us for church at scripturesforamerica.org. Jason's been hard at work doing some new streaming and setting up lots of new capabilities there with getting the message out, whether it's to your phone or to your home computer. So you can join us for church right there in your living room, wherever your computer is. And you can start at 8:30 in the morning, 8:30 Sunday morning on Mountain Time. And it's 9:30 Central and 10:30 Eastern. And just plan on a couple hours. Bring you a bottle of water, a cup of coffee, have your Bible, and join us for that godly fellowship. Don't forsake the assembly. Even if it's just an assembly through there, the Holy Spirit will be there. We assure you of that. And so join us. We'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message by our pastor. You heard the guest speaker. You can come and hear a great testimony, and I'm looking forward to that message tomorrow. And we'll have communion and some praise and worship music. And so we invite you. There's the invite. Come fellowship with us. Come be a part of the gathering of the saints.
And we even have a music special tomorrow.
We do.
We have a young lady who's traveled over 900 miles to come and sing a song for us all to enjoy.
Well, great. Well, praise the Lord. Well, guys, we're wrapping up here. About out of time. Again, folks, thanks for joining us. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Jason gave his email out earlier, jason at sfaw. You can also email preacher at sfaw.org. Well, thanks,
you
guys.
Can see, you can see, too, that these immigrants... the story there in Minneapolis, we'll just close with this, but that Somalian refugee who was raised up as a police officer because of diversity, and by the way, the police chief who resigned was the first open lesbian police chief. One, you got a woman in position of authority. But anyways, God will not be mocked. He's given us these signs. Hopefully the people will wake up and see that this innocent Australian woman who was shot in her pajamas from the vehicle from this Somalian refugee, that's just the beginning of what's going to happen as we continue to defy God's laws.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, again, thanks, guys, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating,
our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Move it, move it, move it, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.